show here something we hope you'll really like.
He's colossal, stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
The Cell Signal Storm Podcast.
Pillars of American strength. I think our belief in God is one such pillar. We have a Judeo-Christian ethic. The freedoms, the liberties, the human dignity we find here in the United States, rather unique, not only in today's world, but throughout human history. What are our other strengths? Well, our military strength. Our military strength is what keeps our Constitution in force. I remember a long time ago, this is about 10, 15 years ago, there was and I still remember this cat's name. Sandoval was his name. He was a city councilman out in San Francisco. Folks, this is so old. This is when Hannity and Combs were still on. Because I remember Alan Combs, who was for a while there everybody's favorite liberal, he had this Sandoval character on television and on his radio show. And Sandoval was saying, we need to abolish the U.S. military. We need to get rid of it. And I remember thinking to myself, what a moron. And you know what? Alan Combs said, that's just ridiculous. It's because these left-wingers think you've got a constitution there, and because it's written down on the paper, that's what keeps it in force. No, what keeps it in force is men and women with guns, and men and women with superior technology to say, we are going to defend this country and stop aggressive nations like China, like Mother Russia, like Iran from taking us over so we can keep those protections in place. Now, external forces have always been a challenge to take those rights away. The rights that have been stripped away from us have come from inside our own borders. Different discussion for a different day. But our military strength is crucial. What is another pillar? Well, our economic strength. Our economic strength is so key to maintaining everything else, to maintaining the freedom, to maintaining a prosperous quality of life, for maintaining a technological superiority, and the benefits that we get from scientific discovery. That all takes money. And every single one of those pillars of strength are under attack by left-wingers, by Democrats, by socialists. Let me give you some headlines out there that giving me pause. Now, the age of globalism is now the age of instability, and we need a plan. Now, this is from The Guardian. For those of you who don't know what The Guardian is, it's a UK publication. And to be quite frank, they're left-wingers. And these people have a left-wing bias. However, they every once in a while will stumble on, oh my goodness, look at what we, in the case of the UK, oh my goodness, old chap, look at what we've done. Absolutely absurd. As you see the world descending into chaos, and this idea of globalism and everybody being under this one world order, it is incredibly chaotic. And as we're seeing the world's economies topple, and the United States no longer able to drive the world economy because the United States has turned away from those basic economic principles, you're seeing the chaos ensue. Here's something else. Job creation decelerates. Rapid economic slowdown. Treasury yields. The week ahead, this was from Real Money. And this was after this jobs report came out. And it was just, it showed exactly what we've all been feeling. The federal government's raising of interest rates is massively cooling off the economy. It's causing higher unemployment. And here we go. And the only question now is, how severe will the recession be? Folks, and then what about inflation? We're still 5% year-to-year inflation. It's supposed to be at 2%. 2% is manageable. We're still at 5%, and that's, and a lot of people are taking victory laps saying, well, it's off the highs of 9%. It's hardly a victory. And the reason why it's coming crashing down, that the inflationary pressures, is because the economic system is slowing down. And our economic prowess, our ability to feed our families under threat because of the inflationary pressures that we're feeling right now. I fielded a call last week from a dude who said, you know what? This China and Russia and the BRICS nation effort to supplant the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency, maybe we should allow it to happen. Maybe we should be looking forward to it happening, because look at how irresponsible our government is with our money. And you know what, Mr. Salcedo? I don't think anything that you're saying about us turning into a third world country overnight is true. Folks, it is true that the minute we can no longer finance this massive debt, once we can no longer print money to pay off our debt, which is what happens when you lose reserve currency status, we turn into a third world country overnight, because we can, our money becomes worthless. And then you start printing money, then it becomes absolutely worthless. You guys remember the old footage from post-World War II, the old photographs of people with wheelbarrows full of cash going to buy a loaf of bread? That's what happens to a society when that society's currency tanks. And that's exactly what would happen if we lose the reserve currency status. And you've got major nations in this, the BRICS alliance, Brazil, India, Russia, China, South Africa, all involved in this effort to supplant the world's reserve currency, supplant the dollar as the world's reserve currency. They all want to start trading in commie money, communist China money, because frankly, because we have idiots in charge in this country, the Democrats, the left-wingers, the communist Chinese by default are seen as the only grown-ups in the room. And it's absolutely dangerous, not only to the benefit of our people, but for our ability to defend ourselves, our United States military. It's a threat to continuing our way of life. Speaking of the military, and speaking of the economy, and speaking of the threats to this country, I introduce you to somebody new next in the Salcedo Storm podcast.
And now a word from our sponsor.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
Tired of cable news lying to you? It's time the establishment media went the way of the dinosaurs and for free digital journalism to rise. At Texas Scorecard, we bring you real news for real Texans with no paywalls ever. Go to texasscorecard.com today.
If being the world's reserve currency wasn't all that, then why do you think China and Russia and Iran, and now since the Democrats, Saudi Arabia, why they're working so hard to take America out of being the world's reserve currency? Why do you think they're working so hard? If there's no benefit to it for a nation, then why are they doing it? Folks, it is laughable to think that America, if it loses its reserve currency status, will not be impacted, that we're not going to be turned into a third world country overnight. It's laughable. So I think it's something we ought to be out there fighting against. Let me bring on our guest, somebody who's in the fight. He's a veteran of the U.S. Army and the host of Through the Looking Glass with Scott Wheeler on TNT Radio. He's an investigator, a reporter, an author, journalist, contributor to Washington Times and Forbes. His name, Scott Wheeler. Sir, great to meet you. Welcome to the Salcedo Storm podcast.
Hey, great to be with you, Mr. Salcedo.
Let me ask you to put your journalist hat on first. Can you give me your evaluation of the press and how they've covered the Trump indictment? What is your view?
Well, on the one hand, you have Fox, which is scrutinizing it and raising a lot of important questions about the motivations behind this. And then on the other hand, you have MSNBC and CNN treating it as though there is an air of legitimacy to it, and these charges have to be pursued, and no one is above the law. All of those tendentious arguments that the Democrat Party apparatchik news media tend to favor. So I think it's about what we would expect, and it is a it's. When they use that phrase, no one is above the law, it makes me think to all of the things that I've covered as a journalist and investigated, from Bill Clinton decontrolling strategic weapons technology to communist China in the 90s, while he was receiving millions of dollars in illegal campaign donations from China, to Barack Obama using the IRS to intimidate people, conservatives, and prevent organizations from forming and that would oppose his agenda and perhaps provide pushback against a lot of what he was doing. And then you think of Hillary Clinton and funding to the tune of $10 or $12 million, the dossier, and they filtered it through a Perkins Coie law firm so that it couldn't be traced. Those are real serious crimes. And if you compare what the Democrats can accuse Trump of with regard to collusion with Russia, I think to that Obama conversation with Medvedev when he said, tell Vlad I'll be more flexible after the election in 2012, mm-hmm. the very election that Putin did attempt to influence.
And absolutely.
So those are all things that could be legitimately investigated. I was one of the things I was disappointed with Trump was that he did not appoint special prosecutors to look into all of those things.
Right. Oh, I'm right there with you. And plus, cleaning house from all of the deep state folks who have more in common with our enemies and our adversaries, who are entrenched in the bureaucracy inside of Washington because that bureaucracy is too big to be managed by those we elect. You know what? And let's not forget that Barack Hussein Obama allowed communist China to, against international law, to militarize the Woody Islands. And basically put $6 billion worth of American commerce at risk every single year. Let's not forget Joe Biden and the Hunter Biden laptop and the influence peddling that is suggested on that laptop, not to mention the money that they're the Treasury right now. There are 150 red flags that Treasury is right now, Mr. Wheeler, holding back and not letting Republicans see the red flags from foreign governments going right into the Biden family's coffers that we're not allowed to see. So I think there's plenty of there for Democrats. And I think that's why you've got Nancy Pelosi uttering what she uttered about President Trump. She's saying that that President Trump should avail himself of a chance to go to court peacefully and prove his innocence. Now, a lot of Democrats believe that that's our American system, that if you're a Republican or you're a conservative, that you're guilty and you've got to prove your innocence. But you and I both know, sir, that is not why you put on the uniform of the United States. That is not why you defend the United States. It is because our standard is innocent until proven guilty. Do you think Democrats just don't know that, or do you think they're trying to change that?
I think it's the narrative that works well for them because it presumes Trump to be guilty, and they've been saying he's guilty of all sorts of things since 2015. And so that is sort of their method, their MO here, their methods of operation is to control the narrative. And now the onus is on Trump to say, to prove that he did nothing wrong, not the burden of proof on the state to prove that he did. And so I think it's the political narrative coming from the left that they and sending a message as well. But you even named some things Obama did with regards to weaponizing the island chain strategy for China, mm-hmm. Which had slipped my mind, the Spratlys and the Cocoa Islands. He let them have control, ceded control and against the will of our allies in the Pacific Rim. So if we really want justice, those things have to be argued. I was really disappointed and frustrated the Republicans did not. They had, not only in the 90s and post-90s when Bush came into office, they could have investigated the Clinton DNC fundraising scandal where Democrats lined up and defended Clinton when he was being investigated for transferring dangerous weapons technology that's rated against us right now, that he provided to communist China, while they were paying him millions in illegal donations, and nothing was ever done about it except a couple of feckless Republican hearing in the Senate and a hearing in the House, and we determined that it's a greater China is now a greater threat. But if you go back at the time, nobody cared. There was no accusations of collusion. I think maybe Bill Sapphire, a columnist for the New York Times, said at one point, if we're to believe our own front page, we'd have to conclude that the president has committed treason. Yet that was it.
Yep.
One conservative columnist for the New York Times pointed this out, and I think maybe Dick Armey, who was the U.S. Representative at that time from Texas, also said, made a statement about how unbelievable this stuff was. And then yet the Democrats continue, just similar to what they've said about anybody denying the 2020 election is an insurrectionist. Yet they've done this since 1980. They've denied the elections. They tried to undo Reagan's election in 1980, claiming that there was Iranian interference, and the Iranians had a deal with Reagan and Vice President Bush, and they revived that in 84. Then they brought it back in 88 and 92. They've denied elections for 40 years now, and Republicans have never really had the moxie to fight back.
Well, you know, the current status of the Republican Party, and I want to get into this in greater detail, is I think it's twofold. There are those in the Republican Party, the Bush wing, the Cornyn wing, the Mitt Romney wing, and the McConnell wing. They get up every single day trying to figure out which butt cheek they're going to plant their lips on of the closest Democrat they can find. And they're willing to overlook the breaches of law and the treason and the betrayal of our country, because really a good Republican is one who gives in to Democrats. That's what they've been raised to believe. And then there are others, I believe, who are just as compromised as the Democrats are, who are paid off. And some of those people on that list may actually be fall in that category. And that's what I want to talk to you about next with Scott Wheeler, folks. His show on TNT is called Through the Looking Glass. And I want you folks to check that out. The Democrats and, frankly, some Republicans, their support of communist China. I can point to 65 Democrats who went on record saying they did not support an investigation into the wrongdoing of China and how they're harming the United States. You look at Mitch McConnell and his obvious conflicts of interest and the amount of money his family is benefiting from this incestuous relationship we have with communist China. What do you think is going on? How much influence do you think they have on our government, communist China?
It's enormous, and it's shocking. I really and truly, I say that as a very cynical person, because I was in China during the 90s investigating the tech transfers and the illegal donations, and I've been closely watching this for many years. Myself and a handful of other people with national security credentials have been pointing this out for literally since the late 90s, the dangers that China poses to the United States national security. And then at the same time, they've been not so gradually interfering in multiple layers of U.S. institutions, infiltrating higher education to the point where you've got China apologists at the major universities that will come out and defend them when the Congress wants to investigate something that China's doing, and you'll have major university presidents defend them, or academic deans of foreign affairs from places like Johns Hopkins and other prestigious institutions will come out and defend communist China. You've got their NBA, the deals with the NBA. And they've been able to co-opt a significant part of our elected officials by, A, funneling illegal donations to some of them, and Dianne Feinstein, for example, and Eric Swalwell from that part of the country, too.
Uh-huh.
You've got their ability to influence political matters in that way. And when you look at how many Democrats have fought the intelligence community, which has wanted for a long time to do a threat assessment, do regular annual threat assessments on the Chinese threat, military threat, and intelligence threat. And you've got members of Congress trying to prevent that. And when you have a Democrat administration, you have resistance there as well.
Right. And you've got again, not to point this out, 65 Democrats in the House who don't want to know, who don't want the American people to know the malfeasance of China. And that brings me to my last question, Mr. Wheeler. The BRICS nations. I know it's on your radar screen, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, and this economic and in some cases military alliance they are building, all with an effort to supplant the United States, not only our world reserve currency status, but also our military dominance and our ability to project American power and to keep people free and ourselves free, for that matter. What does it say to you that so-called journalists in the United States don't even know what the BRICS Nation Alliance is, and so many members of our Congress don't give a rat's about exposing it and the vulnerabilities to the United States that it poses?
Well, it says a lot. It is evidence of the amount of influence China has, and it is obvious, especially in intelligence circles, people who track this, who are concerned about China, point out that you nailed it. It is the interference with our power projection. The more ports that they can get control of and maintain, the more difficult it is for the United States to project power in that region, especially the Pacific Rim, which is their objective. And 20 years ago, it was their objective to be the dominant hegemonic power in the Pacific Rim. They now have reset their goals and objectives to be a competitor to the United States and ultimately replace us as the world's lone superpower.
Yeah, and that is, and the Democrats seem to be fully on board. And as you mentioned, all of the compromised elements of our society, from academia as high as the White House, seem to be aiding them in that endeavor. Scott Wheeler, everybody. The name of the TNT radio show that I highly encourage you to check out is called Through the Looking Glass. He's an investigative reporter. You've seen his stuff in the Washington Times and Forbes. He is a veteran of the United States Army. And, sir, great to meet you, and thanks for being here.
Thank you so much, Mr. Salcedo. It's a pleasure.
And that puts a wrap on this edition of the Salcedo Storm Podcast. Visit a couple of websites for me, will you please? TexasScorecard.com. TexasScorecard.com. That's big news in Texas. They cover it like nobody else. And enterprising journalism you're not going to see anyplace else as well. Also, check out ChrisSalcedo.com. That's ChrisSalcedo.com. You go there, you can book me for a speech. You can check out all of our social media hookups. Yes, we're back on Twitter. Yeah, we never left Truth Social, Getter, and Rumble. And we've abandoned Parler because Parler, well, abandoned us. They got bought out, and the new owner said, click, just turn the whole thing off. So, hey, thanks for the notice. So we're no longer participating in Parler, but plenty of other places for you to reach out on social media. Until we visit again, my friends, remember this. A society's worth is not measured by how much power is stolen by government, but rather by how much power is reserved for you and me, we the people. You stay safe out there, my friends.